Good evening, everyone. Hope that that you're feeling well, and I'm doing well. I've been doing some renovation or remodeling on the home, so it's been a busy few days. We want to wait just a couple of minutes and let everybody get on before I get started. But I wanted to say that we have been looking at several things, and I'd gotten into some different things on our writings, and I wanted to go over those with us, and plus start to get into something new. But when I read my scripture, I'm going to read this scripture because I wanted you to see how spiritual and how blessed you really are. Because in the book of Ezekiel, the 14th chapter, Ezekiel was very plain that he was speaking of this age that we're in, and he said that there would be the four riders of the Spirit, and he said those four would be sword, pestilence, famine, and death. And said that the Lord would send those. You know, a lot of us, we think the devil's the one sending it, or Satan, or whoever. But it said the Lord would send those. And then it gave some names of men who, that if they were in this day, he said they would not be able to save one soul, and would just barely escape themselves. So that kind of gives you an idea of the age we're in, the things that are going on. And I want to read these, and I want to get into this just a little bit. I had said that I wanted to talk on admittance and release. It's two words that I've been thinking of a lot. But let's read Ezekiel, the 14th chapter, and we will start with the 13th verse. And it says, "Son of man, when the land sinneth against me by trespassing grievously." Now, my first question is, how does the land sin? I don't see any land out here sinning. I don't see trees sinning or flowers in it. He's talking about people. We are the land. We are the earth. And he says, when people, or when the land sins against me, or when they miss the mark by trespassing grievously, in other words, like he said, knowing to do things that you need to do and not doing it, "then will I stretch out my hand upon it, and I will break the staff of the bread thereof, and I will send famine upon it, and I will cut off man and beast from it. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job," you think about those three men now. He's talking about this day. "Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord." So Noah couldn't even take his family in this day. And Daniel, who's seen the entire revelation, would do good to save his own soul. And Job, who had all the patience in the world in this day, would do good to save his own soul. So it goes on here and it says, "If I cause noisome beasts to pass through the land and they spoil it." Now, get your mind off the land out here like a bunch of beasts going through a field somewhere. Get your mind where it belongs. He said, "the land that sinneth against me." He's talking about people. And he says, "now, if I cause noisome beasts to pass through the land, or spirits, men, women, people who are acting like beasts, pass through the land, and they spoil it so that it is desolate, that no man may pass through because of the beast, so you can't hardly live in it. Though these three men were in it, as I live, saith the Lord, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters. They only shall be delivered, but the land shall be desolate. Then he goes on, 17th verse. Or if I bring a sword upon the land, and say, sword, go through the land. Now you know what the sword is. The Lord sends his prophets. That's his sword. So if I were to send prophets into the land, into the people, and say, go through it, so that I cut off man and beast from it, though these three men were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters, but they only shall be delivered themselves. Or if I send pestilence into the land, and pour out my fury upon it in blood, in other words, war, strife, envy, hatred, malice, murder, if I pour out my fury in blood to cut off from it man and beast, though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter, they shall but deliver their own souls. For thus saith the Lord, how much more when I send my four sore judgments upon Jerusalem, the sword, the famine, the noisome beast, and the pestilence, to cut it off, both man and beast. Now listen to him. This is our day. Those three men, I mean, when you go into the Bible, you're talking about three of the greatest men that have walked through the Bible. And he says, yet behold, therein shall be left a remnant that shall be brought forth, both sons and daughters. Behold, they shall come forth unto you, and ye shall see their way and their doings, and ye shall be comforted concerning the evil that I brought forth upon Jerusalem. So in the middle of all of this evil, the four that he said would come, and in the middle of all of this evil, he says, you will be comforted while you're sitting here watching all of it go on. There shall be a remnant left, sons and daughters, they shall come forth unto you, and ye shall see their way and their doings, and ye shall be comforted concerning the evil that I have brought upon Jerusalem, even concerning all that I have brought upon it. So, listen to me. Evil doesn't come to destroy civilizations and people. Evil comes to preserve the righteous, and the righteous are comforted in it because evil is what's purging the land. It comes from the Lord. And he goes on here, and they shall comfort you when ye see their ways and their doings, and ye shall know that I have not come without cause. All that I have done, it is thus saith the Lord. So there's a cause and a purpose to what's going on. And anybody with any sense can look out here and know that it's evil moving across the land, the sword, the pestilence, the noisome beast, all of these things. It's just ravishing the people. I'm not talking about land like 50 acres. I'm talking about people. We're the land, we're the earth, and the evil is just moving through it, disgorging it. And we are sitting back, and he says that we see it, and yet we know there's a remnant to be saved out of it, or to be brought out of it, and we know that we are a part of that remnant, and the evil has come for a good cause. So people get scared to death, and they want to say, you know, this is such a horrible thing. There's evil spirits all over the land. They're moving about, and It doesn't seem like good is overcoming evil, and it doesn't seem like the Lord cares. And every move that's being made, everything that is happening, it is the Lord moving it. It's not another spirit. It's not something out here, some rogue spirit somewhere that's saying, I'm going to take over what the Lord made. It's the Lord himself, and he uses this evil, and he uses these things, these four sore judgments upon the earth during times when he needs to scourge and clean up the land or the people. So it's going on all around us. And what we have to do, and I was thinking about it, I said I wanted to talk on these two words, admittance and release. And what we have to do and what we should be doing is the things that is moving, the things that are moving around us, and the things that we are thinking, and the things that we are looking at and saying, that couldn't be the Lord, when there's no other spirit, it is the Lord. We need to adjust our thinking, stop being so afraid, stop being so, the devil's entered the earth, and he's going to destroy it, and he's going to do this and that, when we know that the devil is just processes upon the people. Remember Brother Branham talked about the four horse riders, the white, the red, the black, and the pale. It was processes. He said that was your Antichrist, your false prophet, and the doctrine, and the beast. So none of those things were spirits riding around in the air on horses or whatever you want to call it. None of those things were evil spirits that come out from under your bed or your closet. It was in people. And it was doctrines that are being made up. Antichrist spirit, when we look at this, go to your fourth seal. If you can't read, and a lot of people just can't read, just read the fourth seal and see. And if you can't read the whole seal, go to where Brother Branham says, I got 15 minutes left. It's in the fourth seal. I got 15 minutes left. I want to talk to you about the Antichrist, the beast, and the false prophet. And you know what he does? He goes all the way back and he says it wasn't a war of the devil out here in the world. He said it's a war in the church. And he said it is a war over doctrine. It's a war over tradition and denomination. And he said this war, listen to me, he said it ends up under the fourth seal. The Antichrist and the Christ meet one another, and the Antichrist is defeated under the fourth seal. Now, you know that we are already sitting under the fifth, sixth, and seventh seal, and we're still trying to pin down some Antichrist somewhere and say, oh, it's the Antichrist that's causing all these issues and all these problems. It's not. What it is, it's the Spirit of the Lord that's bringing his four sore judgments upon the people that need to be scourged and cleansed, and all of these things that they're doing be done away with. And we, sitting in our comfort, watch it and are comforted and are watching it and saying, the Lord's doing what he said he would do. It's not a rogue spirit or anything else. So I've been talking and thinking on these two words, and I want to read just a little bit. I've been thinking on two words for some time now. Admittance and release. One of the greatest cornerstones of our faith and understanding is that we can, through admittance, have a release and cleansing of the holistic thought and the holistic version and the holistic person. So that's one of the great things that we can do. We can become holistic, we can understand things, and we can see what's going on around us, and we can realize it's the Spirit of the Lord that's doing these things. And then we can admit to where we have misread the Lord and tried to claim it to be something else. We can admit to where we was carrying many of those Antichrist doctrines Antichrist spirit, all of those things that was, we were constantly talking against the move of the Spirit going on in this day. We can admit that. Many times I thought some things were something else. I thought some things were not the Lord. But I've come to the conclusion and understanding that there's only one Spirit. Oneness brings us to that, makes us understand it. And the Lord is just using his four sword judgments, is what he called it in Ezekiel. And under those judgments, he said Daniel, Noah, and Job could just barely survive. Noah took his whole family into the ark. But here, Ezekiel says, in this day, Noah would do good to save his own soul. That's how precious you are. You think about it, that's how strong you are. Somebody, I heard the prophet say one time, he said, he prayed, it was near the end of his ministry, and he said, Lord, I see some of the things that are coming, and my nervous system, I'm not made up for it, and I won't be able to live through it. I won't be able to take it. Please take me home. Well, the Lord took him home. His spirit is what it wanted. It crossed the veil. Now here you sit, and you're taking it. It's coming in. You can't go anywhere without the music, without the dressing, without all of these things, without all the Antichrist, without all the doctrines just flowing everywhere and processes all about you. You can't even move without it being all around you. And the only way you're going to be able to survive this thing is for you to recognize it's the Spirit of the Lord. And the Spirit of the Lord is moving these things and doing these things to scourge the land. And the land is the people, to cleanse the land, to do all the things he said he would do, to take the land or the people through the lake of fire and cleanse and purge these things out of them. So we see this going on. Now, I went on, I said, Solomon said in his writings, he that covers his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesses and forsakes them shall have mercy. Now we know that sin is missing the mark. And we may miss the mark at times, every one of us. But it's not an eternal quality about us. If you miss the mark, you miss the mark. But that's not your desire. It's not what you wanted to do. It's not an eternal quality about you. It's not persistent. It will not live. It will die out, and you will hit the mark the next time. And so we all know that we miss it sometimes. We step up. We discuss where we miss the mark, admittance, and then we aim and strike the target the next time. When you strike the target the next time, you get a full release. You feel good. You say, there, I hit it that time. When you're shooting a gun, I know how it feels when you got that scope way off and you shoot and it's 3 inches low and 5 inches to the left. You got to adjust. I miss the mark. That don't mean I'm a bad person. I just got to adjust. And I keep setting it in, and I may set it 3 or 4 or 5 times, but eventually it hits the bullseye. It hits the mark. And you know what? I forget all about those 5 or 6 shots that was outside the mark, because now I got my scope on it, and it hits it every time I pull the trigger. So why worry about all those times you miss? Just adjust your sight. Adjust it and shoot again. Same way with arrows. Anything that you're doing, same way with life. If you miss it, if you miss what the Lord's doing, then all I know to tell you is stop missing it and adjust and step forward and keep right on going and don't worry about it. So the writer James said, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, if he's missed the mark, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. Did you hear that? That's how you're healed. Confessing your faults and praying for one another. Admit and then pray for one another. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. You know, we forget about that. We just say, oh, Elijah, he just said, stop the rain, and it stopped. No, he got on his knees, and he prayed earnestly for the rain to stop. And the rain did not flow on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Now listen to this. And he prayed again. And the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth their fruit. So these great miracles and signs and wonders were happening, but these men felt just like you and me. They felt just like, you know, they found their season and they found their time, and they wanted to submit to what the Spirit was wanting to do. Now, wouldn't you think that 3 years and 6 months of absolutely no rain, until one of the authors said that the heavens were like brass and there was no water anywhere, wouldn't you think that would be the devil doing that? Wouldn't you think that would be some horrible? Surely the Lord wouldn't treat people that way. But you see where that James told us and Ezekiel told us that he does it for a cause, and that is to scourge and purge the land, or purge the people from the things that they are doing. Now, it goes on here. What I said, our attitude and admittance of progression from missing the mark many times brings issues into our path. Many try to justify themselves when you don't have to justify yourself before anyone. When revelation is opening, breaking forth, and we miss the mark, or we don't see it, or take a different path, then in order for us to release, to feel good again, in order for us to release and feel good, then we admit and we forsake that path that we're walking, and we start another path. It's not hard. Some years ago, I used to say, just change. Everyone would say, well, coming over into this message and coming over into all these new things, it's hard, Brother Parnell. And I'd say, just change. Just instead of holding on to the tradition, the doctrines and everything else, Jesus himself, Paul said, Jesus said, beware of the doctrines of the Pharisees. You say, well, yeah, but that was Pharisees. Well, just let me put it like this. I'll frame it another way. Beware of the doctrines out here, because 99% of them were made by the Pharisees in this day. So we see this. They make them so they can set up a denomination and then tell you, you follow these doctrines and you follow these rules and you follow these regulations, or you are going to go to hell, or you're going to be judged, or the pastor or whoever it is, make sure that he tells everybody in the church what you're not doing or what you are doing, so that everybody can start condemning you and making you feel bad and making you feel like, well, I need to change, when it's them that needs to change. So here we are. Now, I want to take a moment and discuss the message written by James, the brother of Jesus. It says this, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he had committed sins, they will be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, pray for one another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So how do we receive healing? Confessing one to another. Now listen. This is a writing with rich relationship in it. James is going beyond a personal, physical healing. He's not talking about a natural healing. He's going beyond a personal, physical healing. He is addressing how the spiritually sick can be restored. Now, that's what those four judgments right there were for. The spiritually sick who had turned against the word of the Lord for their day and missing the mark, the sore four judgments of Ezekiel come into the earth to purge these people. Oh, but yes, Brother Parnell, that's the devil. No, that's the Lord. That's the Spirit of the Lord sending these things into the earth. And I am comforted by it. And I see a remnant of people pulling out of it who are the leadership in a brand new age, and they are going to create a brand new world. I see something totally different than a world ending. I'm not worried about a world ending. You don't have to tear down what's old. It'll fall down. You just focus on what's new and just keep moving in what's new. So I want to go on here. This is the writing of rich relationship. James is talking about personal spiritual healing. Those of us who have missed the mark in life have a great hope in this small passage. Have you been married twice? Are you a drinker? Are you a wine bibber like they accused Jesus of? Are you a perpetual liar? What are you? You know, all of us carry these things in our human spirit. But we have something here that tells us if we are willing to confess these things one with another. Now he goes on, I go on and I say, now look, those of us who have missed the mark in life have a great hope in this small passage. He is speaking of an inward work of you adjusting your love and attitude to stop missing the mark. The prayer of understanding, the prayer of faith, will restore the spiritually sick. Now, if I'm spiritually sick, you want to know what James is speaking of? He's not talking of me going to Sister Norod or Brother Joe or Brother Larry or anybody else and start confessing to them all of my spiritual sickness. I know when I'm spiritually sick. And what James is saying is, if we will turn inward and confess those things, because right here is where it starts. If you don't start with your own self, it will never work. So you go inward and you look at what you used to call the devil and what you used to think was the Lord in doctrine and Antichrist and all these things. And we look at it and we say, well, it's the devil, when it's the Lord moving these things through the earth. When you used to think all those things, say to yourself, I need to adjust my sight. I need to adjust my understanding. And when we do that, that gets us on a road to where we can begin to mend all of these relationships that we've caused a lot of problems with. Then James moves from the individual personal correction in another relationship, and that is a relationship with one-on-one to a different person. Confess your faults one to another. Now, listen to me. Pray one for another that you might be healed. This is not to say, James moved out of, he first said you do it personally with yourself first and get yourself in line where it needs to be. And then secondly, if you've wronged someone, if you said things about someone, if you've lied on someone, or if you had feelings about it, what James is saying here, he is speaking of a personal relationship and how to mend broken hearts and relationships. He's not talking about you getting up before the world, before the church, and say, oh no, my God, I missed it. I'm sorry. I said this about you so-and-so, and I said this about you. That's not what it is. Honestly, 99% of the time, that is condemnation that some preacher has put on you and made you feel like that's what you need to do. But what you need to do is go to the person individually and say, hey, look, I had some bad feelings about you, and I made some statements about you I shouldn't have made, and I am really sorry, and I'm telling you my heart's right, and I won't do that again. You know what you just did? You just mended a personal relationship, and you've already made your heart right, and you're making things right to where the spirit that's in you can open up, and it can begin to show love, it can begin to show compassion on all of these things. So doing those things one-on-one. Tear down the wall of faults and missing the mark by confessing that you want to release your feelings that cause the issues, and the two of you be compassionate, empathetic, understanding, and real to one another. It will start a new world for you, around you, and mend many things in the individual and the collective body. Because we are, and I'm going to talk about it here in a second real quick, we are into what is called quantum entanglement. And if I do something precious and positive in the body, it affects the from the very beginning of humanity all the way out through the future, the present and the future. It affects because that web is entangled with one another all the way around. So when we do something, it is correcting things that maybe were generations ago and you inherited it through genealogy, through genetics, through family name, all these things, and you make it right. And when you make it right, or when you make it to where you can live with yourself and live with everyone else, you just cleaned up some of your DNA. You just cleaned up some of your genetics. So we see this. Now, tear down all these walls. Come to one another. It will start a new world. The effectual, loving, compassionate, understanding, fervent prayer of a righteous avails much. It's not about right or wrong. That's not what it's about. It's not about right or wrong. What it is about, it's about righteousness. Remember, he said, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous saint availeth much. This is about righteousness. Now you say, but Brother Parnell, the scripture says we can't make it in on our own righteousness. It's as filthy rags. I'm not talking about our own righteousness as the way that we were before we come to an understanding. Now that we're in an understanding, righteousness, you started out innocent as a little baby when you were born from the womb. And then you became guilty because you began to do things, and in your maturity as you moved older, people told you it was wrong. You felt it was wrong. People told you it was right and wrong. All these things, and we built all of these traditions within us until we made ourselves condemning and guilty and condemning and judging almost every move that we made in this life. So, righteousness, you were innocent as a little baby. You are guilty as you come into the carnal mind and the understanding. And then as you move into a spiritual being, putting the theophany mind and its attribute into the carnal mind, and then taking those two and moving into a spiritual mind, you become righteous. And he said, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous saint availeth much. So we're right in the middle of the most righteous age that has ever stepped foot on the face of the earth. If you think not, read Ezekiel 14. I already read it once. He sends his four sore judgments into the earth in this day. And Ezekiel said, when those four judgments strike the earth, it is the Lord, it's not the devil doing these things. It is the Lord and his spirit. And if Daniel, Noah, and Job was here, think of those three men. They would not be able to do anything but save their own soul. And yet you're here and you're waking people up and you're moving with people and you're bringing up another generation and you're seeing a remnant raising up. And that's what Ezekiel said. He said, in the middle of all of it, you're going to see a remnant raise up. And you're going to be comforted in all of this evil that's striking the land. You're going to be comforted in the fact that the Holy Spirit, the Lord, is the one doing it and purging everything. So you keep your heart in a righteous attitude. And righteousness, after you've been innocent and then you become guilty, when you become righteous, oh, you're humble. You have an understanding that, oh my, look where I come from. I'm not trying to be somebody. I don't have some big ego. Somebody wrote me the other day and said, your whole problem is your ego. And I said, look, I'm 70 years old. I threw that out the window a long time ago. But I am an honest man, and that's what upset him when I said some honest things. So we see this. Now, I want to go on. We are in a space of time, a piece of time. We are in a time frame that is, we haven't left eternity. It's a space of time or a section of eternity. It's measured. So we put the word time on it. But on the back end of it is eternity. On the front end of it is eternity. And right while you're going through it, it's eternity. But we just measure it in time. And so we have this time period, which is eternal, wherein we see what's going on all around us. And Paul termed it the all in all. And many of the prophets came afterwards through the ages and said, when the all in all comes. Well, this is the age. This is the fullness. This is the all in all. So we termed it the all in all. And I'm sure we understand what the all in all is. That means the fullness of Christ has moved into the fullness of the people. It's the all in all. He said, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And that was a prophecy, not only for that day of Pentecost, for over here after the opening of the seals, where that John seen everyone under the redemption plan, where that the prophet seen all of us there under the redemption plan in Sunset Mountain. So we have this blessing. Now, the spirit and the body, or the spirit and the earth, remember the land is the people, and he's scourging the land, or he is the people that are standing up in earth and walking around, all of us that are breathing, we're earth and we're walking around. The spirit and the earth are united and bringing in character in unity and making the three agree in earth. Spirit, earth, and soul. Making those three agree in earth. Or you could say spirit, water, and blood. It's making those three agree in earth. So what we are doing is by coming out of theophany mindset and getting into a carnal mindset, then putting those two together, spirit and earth, we are creating a spiritual being, and we are agreeing. The theophany man, the spirit man, and the earth are agreeing on how we might live here. And we're agreeing on these things. And then he goes on to say, and in this day we know the spirit is, I want to read this back here. Let's not try to. The spirit and the body and the earth are united and bringing its character to unity, so the three agree in earth and are one in spirit. So we're one in the spirit, we agree in the earth. Let's not try to pin up the movement of the spirit once again and bind it as useless in many cases, as they did in the dispensation of the church ages. Brother Branham said for 2,000 years, the Holy Spirit was bound. Feast of the Trumpets. He said, what was it bound by? Tradition and doctrine, man-made dogma, antichrist. It was bound, man's mind, it's hard to understand, but man's mind bound the Holy Spirit for 2,000 years. But he said, in the evening time, at Revelations 10:7, St. Luke 17:30, St. John 14:12, he just kept naming all scriptures. He said, the Holy Spirit is loosed, or release comes. How are we loosed? How do you think we were loosed? Because a prophet stood there at the pulpit and went back across all of the sins of the ages, all of the places they missed it, all the hidden things they walked over top of, and all the things that they lost, he brought it right back, and he lined them up, and he said, it's righteous, and here is the body of Christ. Well, when the prophet did that, it brought us to a brand new age. In this day, we know the Spirit will use whatever is necessary in Aquarius to get its character built into the collective body of Christ. Everything is fertility, and everything carries the seed in this day, not just a certain people. And I kind of get that feeling from by reading some things and hearing some people talk, and I kind of get the feeling that we're starting to maybe get a little filtration in here of we are the people, the only people that carry the seed, and they have to match up with us, and the only way they can receive the word of God is through us. I will never agree with that. I left the message because of that, because that's what they tried to say. I left the Third Testament because that's what they got to, and they were trying to say it, and I said, I will not remain here, and I left it, and I don't care how many times I have to leave something. When it gets to a point that we think we're the only ones, when we think that everybody has to hear from us, when we think that people out here, the only way they can receive the only way they can be fertile and receive the seed and wake up is through the connection of what we call the body. Well, the body is the earth, and the earth is connected with the Spirit, and it's already one with it. And I'm telling you, you can receive from anything or anyone. We're hearing Christ in the kingdoms of the animal, botany, human, sea world, the fowl world. We're hearing Christ in spirituality, politics, religion, military, economics, women, children, on and on and on. Christ is in all of it because he said, I'm going to pour out my Spirit on all flesh. I'm going to send my noisome, my sore judgments upon all of this flesh, and I'm going to scourge it out. That's what we're watching today. It's a wonderful, I know this sounds horrible to most people, but it's a wonderful work of the Lord what's going on out there. And it's a wonderful work of the Lord what's going on in here. It's the Lord doing it. So we see this now, our communication, our communion, our partnership, and our ear are all tuned to the Spirit in the all in all. Even though we want to, we don't have to meet another human being and still receive the fertility and still receive the seed and still receive the Word of God, because it is moving in everything now. If you find someone who is blessed to have a lot more information, you remember what Brother Branham said? He said, there's only one revelation, but there's much information. Remember Abraham? He started out, the Lord said, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. That's all he knew. And then the Lord said, go to a strange land and I'll lead you through it. That's all he knew. And then the Lord said, I'm going to bless you in this land and I'm going to make you a father of many nations here. That's all he knew. And then he began to try to do what the Lord said he would do. And Abraham got in with Hagar and brought forth Ishmael and walked 13 years thinking Ishmael was the promise of the Lord. That's a long time. And then the Lord speaks and gives him more information on the one revelation that he had to start with. And he said, not through Hagar, it's going to be through Sarah. Well, now he's got more information. You know what he does? He makes an about face. He stops saying Ishmael's his promised son. He stops doing all that. He goes in with Sarah. She becomes pregnant. She brings forth a child. It's what the Lord said he would do. But see, what we do many times, we say, well, we shouldn't have done that, or we shouldn't have done this. With the information we had coming up through the message, we did what we needed to do. With the information we had coming up through the Third Testament, we did what we needed to do. And now, with the information in where we are at today, in the all in all, you know what we're going to do? We're going to do what we need to do. and it's more information, and we're going to look back and say, well, now, you know, that little act I committed with Sarah, that wasn't really a promise that I thought it was. Or that little time that I left the land and I went down into Egypt and I tried to give my wife away and everything else, that's what Abraham did. He realized that all those little things wasn't a part of the information, but he was trying to bring forth the revelation. And you know what you'll do? You'll bring it forth. You'll bring it forth. You will enjoy it. It doesn't matter how long it takes. It doesn't matter how much information you guessworked on or you tried to do. When you get the real information, you'll jump on it because it's in you. It matches up with you. It is your life. It is your spirit. Now, our communication, our communion, our partnership, and our ear are all tuned to the spirit of all in all now. Not to the spirit of the message, not to the spirit of the third testament, not to the spirit of denomination. All those things are the spirit of the Lord moving, but I'm going to tell you, that's the spirit of the Lord moving in four sore judgments, purging and doing the things it needs to do. And we are comforted in all of this going on because we see that we have moved on in revelation and in understanding. So we see this now. We don't have to use another or see another human in the rest of our life. When the fullness was here before, you say, well, that's when Jesus was here, and I agree with that. John the Baptist received a revelation from a dove. That's what it said. John said, I've seen the dove descend upon Jesus. He received a revelation from a dove. Peter, standing at his fire, warming his hands, he received a revelation from a rooster. I'm telling you, the Lord doesn't have to use a human being in the way that you think he has to use it any day, because everything today is full of fertility and full of seed, and it will bring forth what it is supposed to bring forth. That's where we're at. So we see this now. Let us not box ourselves in again. Or as for me, I will tear down, I will break out, whatever tries to bind me into some kind of little movement. Oh, we need to do this and we need to do that. And Brother Parnell, when are you going to write a revelation? When are you going to write things into the books that we need to be doing all across the world? It's not going to happen. Don't look for that from me. You may see a book or two from me, but it's going to be all about the revelation of Jesus Christ, and you're not going to find one rule, one regulation, one dogma, or anything else, one doctrine, or anything in it. It's going to be about the life of this age and how we are supposed to move from the principles and the doctrine of Christ and leave it and go into perfection. That's what Paul taught. That's why he got his head cut off. So we're moving into all in all. Anything, a move of a bird. Today, I got to testify to a fellow, a little Spanish fella, Mexican. And he came to do power washing on the house because I'm getting ready to paint the house. And so I went out back and he was power washing and he called me over. And he said, my power washer's not working. And I could just barely understand him because he talked so fast. And he said, see up in there? And I thought he was trying to point a hole out in the siding. Well, when I looked, it was a little nest up in there, and there was three little heads of robins sticking out of that nest. And the mom was over on the fence, and she was just carrying on and carrying on. He said, I took that nest out of there and set it over and done my power washing, and then I put the nest back. And he said, Mama's sitting there waiting. But he said, my power washer won't work. He said, do you go to church? I said, yes, sir, I do. He said, could you help me? I said, yes, I can. Because you helped that little bird, take that power washer and start it up. First pull, it started up. He said, I've been pulling on this for a half an hour. He said the right thing. See, the third pull is not some great big revelation. It's just saying the right thing. It's doing the right thing. He loved those little birds. He removed the whole nest. He set it over there. He power washed, and then he moved it back. And he knew the mother was wanting back to the babies. So he pulled it around there, around back, and he said, it won't start. I said, you did the right thing, and you asked the right man. Yes, I do go to church. Pull that thing and start it. And first pull, Sister Maud, it started up. He was jumping up and down, just happy as a lark. So we have these things moving all around us. I never met the man in his life. I don't know if he's Baptist, Methodist, Independent, or whatever he was. I don't know. But I know this, he touched the Spirit of the Lord. And when we touch the Spirit of the Lord, it will do what needs to be done. And his love for those little birds touched the Lord. And then the Lord walked out of the door and stood right in front of him so he could receive what he needed after he touched the Lord. See, it's that simple to me. It ain't like, trying to pray for 1 million people and hoping that a whole nation gets blessed and hoping that the presidents get in and everything. That's all fine and that's dandy, and I pray for a lot of those things. But the real blessing is in the smallest of things. It's a real blessing. You remember one of the places, I think in Zechariah, he said, the Lord blesses the day of small things. Well, this is the day of small things, and it's a great blessing. Now, I'm going to close here in just a minute. I know it is a huge trap, or a huge leap, I'm sorry. I know it is a huge leap for most minds, but if you can understand quantum entanglement, then you will understand that frequency and vibration and energy are key to all things. It connects everything. There is no past or future. There's only the now. And everything is now, and it always will be now. And when a vibration or pattern aligns itself through this human entanglement, quantum entanglement, it's not a coincidence. This is where I'm going for the next few thoughts. It is humanity helping one another to move forward, no matter the dimension each are residing in. We are quantum entangled in every dimension. Moses, 3,500 years later, showed up with Elijah in Jeffersonville behind the pulpit, and they opened the sixth seal. That's quantum entanglement, 3,500 years apart, and the same spirit that opened the seals back there in their day and delivered nations and everything else come up here and did the same thing in our day. William Branham, the prophet, got into the entanglement and was in the same spirit as Moses and Elijah, and it manifested itself. That's quantum entanglement. Now, it's humanity helping one another to move forward no matter what dimension you're residing in. If you can comprehend it, this is what I'm trying to say and have been trying to say for some time now. The pattern, vibration, frequency, and energy are all connected. Think about this. You can take any word that you want. Take any word that you want, pull it out of the Bible, deliverance, slavery, death, life, favor, seals. You just pull anything out of there, and then if you are a Bible reader and you know your Bible, go back and just keep running through, and you will find out that in Moses, he was delivered for what reason? To bring the children of Israel out of slavery. And then quantum entanglement, that 1,500 years later, Jesus shows up on the scene. Moses delivered a nation from slavery, and Jesus shows up on the scene, gets in the same entanglement as Moses was in, the same spirit, and they're connected together, and the vibration delivers not a nation, but the entire world. And now we go through that little vibration occasionally from Jesus. Here came Abraham Lincoln. What was he here for? To deliver a people out of slavery. And then here come Martin Luther King. What was he here for? He got into that same quantum entanglement and delivered a race from slavery. And then here come William Branham, and once again, he gets entangled up in the quantum entanglement of slavery and releasing people and letting them go, and he opens the seals and releases the entire seven church ages of all of their sin, all of their problems, all of their ungodliness, all of their guilt, everything. He releases them of all of it and says it was a perfect 2,000-year-old body of the Lord Jesus. And we look at it, and we have a hard time understanding the same spirit. The prophet said, that was Christ in Moses. That was Christ in Jeremiah. That was Christ in Daniel. That was Christ in Ezekiel. He was showing us quantum entanglement. He was showing us how the deliverance, I could take that word, run it through, and we're going to do some of this because I want to show you just how entangled we are together until the whole web of the earth, and not only the earth, but the universe, the whole web is shining forth in the electromagnetic fields. The energy is moving forth right now to create a whole brand new world. Noah, Adam got into quantum entanglement and created a whole new world. Stepped out of the Garden of Eden and stepped into the blood. And look at what Noah did. He got into that same, 2,000 years later, the same entanglement, and he delivered a people into a new world. And here comes Jesus in the same entanglement, and he delivered a people into a new world. New heavens and new earth. And here come William Branham, and he delivered people into a new world. And here we are today. We are that new world. And we're setting this new world up, and we're doing everything that we need to do to set these things up and be the person that we are and understand who we are. And we're putting away all of those things that had to do with the old so that we can step up in the new and stop worrying about the old surviving. It's not going to survive. The Lord sent his sore judgments into the earth in this day to where three men in the Old Testament that you would think was the greatest three men could never survive in this day. But you and I are a remnant of people who are blessed, and we are living in the middle of these four judgments, these sore judgments all around us, and we are comforted, and we're watching it, and you and I, we don't even have the least idea that it's some devil out here doing this. We know better. We know what the devil is. It's processes. But here is the Spirit, the Lord, the Great Spirit, whatever you want to call it, the Holy Ghost, it's doing all of this. It is doing everything. And we have a hard time. Well, is it in politics? Absolutely. And it's showing us things, quantum entanglement is showing us things in politics that we don't need to be in, so we will untangle ourselves and move forward. Same thing in religion, same thing in everything that's going on. It's for Ezekiel, the 14th chapter. It's for a great cause that the Spirit is moving these sore judgments in the earth. We all see it, but we kind of miss the mark on what we thought it was. This is the Lord. This is the apocalypse. This is the Spirit cleansing and purging, and sit back and be comforted in it. It will take care of itself. Humanity takes care of itself. I hope this has been a help to you. How do I open up to these things, Brother Parnell? Number one, get your heart right yourself. Confess those things in you and admit and make it right. Number two, if you have feelings, if you have hatred, if you have those things in you toward anybody, make it right in yourself. And if you feel led to, because maybe you hurt them or maybe you're hurt at one another, if you feel led to clean that up, clean it up. It's not hard. He that confesses his sin in the book of Proverbs and forsakes it shall prosper. You say, I have such a hard time forsaking my sin, though, Brother Parnell. Brother Don, I have a terrible time. You don't understand forsaking. You admit, and you turn your back on it and walk away. See, but it shows up again. Admit and turn your back on it and walk away again. It's not a hard thing to do. Forsake just means, Jesus said, I will never forsake you. But here, Proverbs is telling us to forsake our sin or turn your back on it and walk away. And if the root shows up again, burn it out again. And if it shows up again, burn it out again. And when you forsake it, don't look back and say, I'm guilty, I'm this, I'm that. You forsook it. It's not yours anymore. It's dead and it's gone. And you keep moving. And you watch how it would deliver you. I love you. I hope that this has been a blessing to you. And we will take a look at quantum entanglement. We will take a look at human entanglement and how everything in the Bible, everything outside of the Bible, everything is connected. Animal life, botany life, human life, everything is connected. You say, well, how's botany life connected? Did you hear your prophet say, what intelligence is it in that tree that tells it when the sap needs to go down? And when the sap is down there, what intelligence tells it to come back up? Brother Brown is telling you, those trees have an intelligence. And that intelligence is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit created it all. That's you and me. You have intelligence. And when it tells you to rise up, you rise up. When it tells you to set back, you set back. When the Holy Spirit tells you these things, you do it. And you serve the Lord. You serve the Spirit. You hold these things inside you and you let that artesian well just flow out. It'll work for you. If you start inside and then move out. Love bless. Lord Jesus, we come to you. We thank you for these wonderful things that you've told us. We thank you for all the blessings that you've given us. We thank you for our healings. I thank you every day for the very breath that I'm breathing. I know it's a stay for me. I know doctors and all didn't think there was any hope, but I'm sitting here. I'm alive. I'm well. I'm getting stronger every day. I thank you for that. And I thank you for so many that have had the same things happen to them and have written me and said, pray for me. And I know they've been healed. I know they've been blessed. I know those things are there. And now we pray that you would keep us, that you would lead us, that you would guide us. And I'm not asking this for something out in the air. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit that's inside us. Move out, flow out of us, and let it be an artesian well, and let everyone watch the Holy Spirit move in us, because we are the Holy Ghost. Love, bless.